Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back. We are going to start a new chapter, chapter 15. So on page 109. And this a little bit different style, because in this chapter he writes about eight chief passions and their offshoots. And it is very interesting to read that, and it will help us to understand that, well, that behind one passion there are more other things connected with this passion. It might remind you this card which Kurt made for us, this some kind of chief passions and everything what is going out from this passion. So, well, it will be interesting really, and I think that it's actually this chapter we can use as an examination of conscience. You know, it is a really, really very, very good thing. So let's start with first. We are not going to like it, probably.
Gluttony, overeating, drunkenness, breaking or lessening the fast, secret eating, indulgence in eating, and intemperance in food in general, an incorrect or excessive attention to the body and the stomach and its needs, from which we develop self-love and from which come unfaithfulness to God, the church, the virtues, and other people.
Well, gluttony, and well, how many times we say, well, I ate too much, I cannot move, you know, and something, we don't really pay attention to this, because it is something that it's like part of life. And then when we start to read Holy Fathers and those teachers of spiritual life, we are surprised that what they say, and they really reminded again that fasting is important. Like Saint Ignatius, he says later, we'll be reading that fasting is fundament, is base for prayer. There is no prayer if you don't fast. So those are hard words, but well, he just repeats words of Holy Fathers who came to this knowledge through their experience. And what is interesting to see that all those things we somehow see like normal part of life many times. That if you have good lunch, and if you are enjoying that many times, and But what he says that self-love is coming from that. Unfaithfulness to God, to church, to virtues, and to other people goes through this. So gluttony is not only that I cannot see that well, I can avoid this passion, well, it doesn't make sense for me to avoid this passion. There is a little bit, I don't know how it is here, but I heard I was listening to one lecture from Slovakia, and it was that author, he said that this struggling people had during the Second War, so people, they were starving, and they had not enough food. He said that this caused that new generation came, like parents, and then later they became grandparents. And their first, like, care was to feed their children. You know, that this is like many times you can see this joke, even like these cartoons that, or pictures that Italian grandmas, you know, somebody comes for breakfast and they're like full table of food, you know, just a breakfast. And it is not, it is this care of to have enough food came out from this starvation. So many times we have to even like see what caused this, our attitude toward food. Many times it is not that we need more food. It's just some kind of this, I would say, and he's saying this, it's self-love. We are afraid of to be hungry, to die. And this is the problem that with this eating and drinking, or not moderation in receiving of food or other stuff, it is not that we need that. We enjoy that. And I would be able to tell you, you know, that how I enjoy several like things, you know. And it is this desire in us to make this pleasure, to have a snack which I like. But what is if we go and we try to find the root of this, we find that it is our ego. We want something what brings pleasure to body, and we feel well. But we feel well. So it is like really we are feeding our ego. Love to ourselves. We want good things for our body. But this illusion, which always since gives us this illusion that, well, it is good for you, it is pleasure for you, you know, but through this we are losing understanding what is going on. Because if we, like he says, this offsprings of this passion is this self-love and unfaithfulness. Yes, we love ourselves if we want to, through eating, through drinking, to make pleasure to ourselves. So our attention is directed to me. And once we have this, our mind turned to our heart, to and we are looking to for pleasure of my body, that we are forgetting soul. We are removing, we are against everything what causes that, or what causes us to some kind of sacrifice. And Saint Isaac, he says, I probably you heard it before, that there is no divine knowledge on full stomach. That with full stomach you cannot come to understanding of divine things. And that the reason is that it is we are feeding this our ego, egoism, self-love. And once we are filled with that, there is no room for something that is divine. You know, if somebody loves own life, is filled with self-love, that person is not able to love somebody else. To love somebody else, it means to sacrifice, to make, to really die a little bit in own life. It's always to express love to somebody. Real love is to die a little bit inside. When we don't do this, when this aspect of sacrifice is not in us, there is no love. It's some kind of emotion, feeling, but this emotion is only connected or directed towards those people we love, we have some kind of inclination towards, but not to everybody. And one thing is that when we start to like these fasting days, we have these seasons of fasting, a great fast, and now we are approaching this fast before dormition. Church calls us to fast, to be hungry, to refuse to take abundance of food. And it means church calls us to defeat this egoism, this self-love in us. And through this, discover that how weak we are. How difficult it is, like, to go through more strict fast. Immediately in the first day, we discover that our body is going to protest. Body wants attention. But we are not called to pay too much attention to body. We are called to conquer body. There are like these levels of human being. There is body, soul, and spirit. The spirit is the highest. Soul is this power which animates through, you know, this our thinking and how we make decisions and everything, but body is the lowest. And the really this intention of fasting is to rule over a lower part of our being. If we want to lead spiritual life, it means that our body cannot be our ruler. We have to be ruler of body. Well, does it make sense a little bit? Questions? No? All right, so how to fight against this passion is, the remedy is simplicity in eating and moderation. So if we have to try to really see if we are slaves of this passion, that we have no control over, that we are always searching for satisfaction, or to have moderation. This moderation is that the advice, good advice is that, well, eat only so much to give enough to body to survive. That you should be always a little bit hungry when you finish your meal. Well, it's difficult to go this way, but again, when we start to do this, then we realize how weak our will is. If we cannot control that, how do we want to control our thoughts? How we can control our words or anger and other stuff if we are not able even to control the so simple things as a receiving of food or drinking? Okay, so let's continue.
Fornication. Carnal lust, impure desires and feelings in the body, impure feelings and desires in the soul and heart, and acceptance of impure thoughts, conversation with them, pleasure in them, cooperation with them, persistence in them, lustful imaginings, and bondage to them. Not keeping watch over the senses, especially sight, in which is found brazenness that destroys all virtues. Using foul language and reading sensual books. Natural carnal sins, fornication and adultery. Sins of the flesh contrary to nature. Self-stimulation, homosexuality, bestiality, and others like them.
So we can see that he continues, like, first, passion is connected with our body. The second, again, is connected with our bodily functions. And the same thing as overeating or not control over our food leads to self-love, and through this unfaithfulness to God, to church, to other people, and to virtues. The same thing is that if we don't have under control these bodily functions which we have, but our body has, if we are not rulers over this, but we are slaves, so they become source of all kinds of temptations, thoughts, and then even like agreement with these temptations, even like searching for these pleasures which are coming out from these bodily needs or senses. And it seems like separated from, well, some kind of like, but it is part of our being, and it afflicts whole our life. Especially if we don't pay attention to this and we don't fight on this field, in this area, what happens is that our heart, our mind, becomes not sensitive. You know, like we are not able to recognize pure things because we will be I would say it's this way, that it's so easy. One young man, he started new job, and he came home and he said, well, it's horrible there, because this group of people I have to work with, they are using very dirty language, you know, that, well, and well, it's not good environment for me, I don't feel well there. But well, he had to have this job. After like 2 months, he adjusted to this. He was not so, he lost this feeling that it is something not pure. And he started to use the same language. So it is, when this is going on, I would say, with all these temptations and in this area, that we, if we don't fight, we are losing control over ourselves, and we are becoming not sensitive to this passion, and then we are going down. Sometimes, well, it ends in other sins. And you can see that who are older, you might remember, if you compare your youth, how things were, and now this is totally different, how we see things. You know, that, for example, if what is difficult for me to somehow accept is that if I remember when I was like teenager, and if sometimes happened that there was like single mother, she got pregnant but she didn't marry, and she was raising child. It was like, I don't want to say that shame, but well, everybody saw that, well, this is not something natural. Well, everybody understood that, well, these things can happen, but it was most rare. And I think that in this climate, you know, that even like young ladies, you know, they were very careful. And men too, because, well, nobody wanted to come to this state that it might be. And now, if you see it, so now, like, the single mothers that are putting, like a high pedestal, like heroes, you know. I saw, I don't know, I didn't see the show, but I saw somewhere it was, like, programming that 16 and pregnant or something like that, a show. So, you know, we have show. I don't know what is there. Maybe I'm just making bad, wrong conclusion. But I think, well, are we going to promote this, you know, that way of life? How easy it is to slip down that we consider like normal things which were not considered like normal 40, 50 years ago. And the same thing what we see on this in society, this movement toward acceptance, where you have no problem with that. Now it's, we consider it normal. Nobody is like, well it's a normal thing. But this can happen in our lives too. So if we don't fight this over to take over, like, this our power to rule over our body and bodily needs, if we don't have this active fight, so we will go down in, so this our conscience will be not sharp enough to tell us. So it means, like, somebody comes and says, well, I don't have, I'm not aware of sins, and I trust the person, you know, that well, because it is like from heart. The person comes and says, well, I really want, I understand that confession is important, but somehow I cannot find sins. But this blindness is caused that sometimes we slip on the level when we consider things which are not good, we should repent from and make repentance. We don't see that as a sin. And one thing with that is that it's not that you are in a position like standing in one place. It is like you start like this spiral movement. When you start to play with the thoughts and temptations, and you try to look for these pleasures of body, so with each this yes to this passion, you are going down. You know that it is like it pulls it down. I think Saint John Climac, he said that this passion caused that you cannot be satisfied never when you start to play with this passion. That even if you would eat whole Egypt and to drink whole Nile, still you'd be hungry and thirsty. You know, that this is not this this thirst, this hunger will be growing and growing and growing, bringing you more and more to these temptations. Okay. Is questions or this topic or it's okay? All right, so let's go to another one.
Avarice, greed, love of money, or a general love for property and riches, the desire to become rich, thinking of ways to get rich, and imagining future riches, fear of old age, sudden poverty, sickness, or exile, miserliness, avarice, unfaithfulness to God, and lack of trust in His providence, passionate attachment or sickly, excessive love for various perishable things that destroy peace of soul, preoccupation with earthly matters, love of presents, stealing things belonging to others, usury, cruelty to the poor and to all who are in need, thievery and brigandage.
Yeah. Okay, so it is, I don't think that it's very clear. And now we can see how many these faces has this passion, you know. And and one thing is that it doesn't matter that if you are rich or poor, something, that this passion can be in us. And I would say that it is really this, our attachment to things. And it is expression of our self-love, that we want to take care of ourselves. We want to take really, we don't trust God and His providence, that He takes care of us. We want to take care of ourselves. And all those things we heard are really, really something comes out from this passion. And you can recognize that in other people. Maybe you might know. I remember there was like in our village where I grew up, and the village was next to us. There was one lady. She died, and it was a lady. She was like poor. Everybody was helping her, trying to help her. Everybody had pity. And when she died, and they went to like to clean her house and, you know, someone put things to order, they found out that she had 3 million, maybe more, crowns. Well, at the time, if car cost like 37,000 or crowns, you know, so it was really something. And this was like, everybody was, why she chose to live in this way if she had so much money, you know, that she could live decent life. But as he says, that this is like this fear of sudden poverty or of illness or some kind, it might come. This fear can cause this, that we really try to gather things to be sure that we will be not afflicted. And I don't know if you heard about this, something or this, things like that, but maybe not in this radical way, but many times it is what we see in ourselves and in others, that there's too much worry in our life. Now, I'm not saying that we should not take our responsibilities especially if we are parents and we have a responsibility towards our wives, husbands, or children still. Yes, we should work, we should really be active, but it should not be this caused by this fear and this desire to gather. What's the name for these people who gather? Yeah. I think that is the best example. But if you think about this, it is in this like extreme, but it is in us. It is in us in some parts that, well, I want to be sure that I'm covered in the case. But we have to be very careful if this desire, which can be right, that to cover and to do our responsibilities, that we have to have responsibility for ourselves to pay taxes. We have to calculate about that, think about it, or other things we need to do, for sure. But we have to be always careful in judging this. It's like a little bit like sick. This mind doesn't I go to extreme. You know, there is a really difficult line, which is like normal approach to these things, and when the passion starts. And we have to exercise this, or to train our conscience in correct way to be able to recognize this border between. One thing is that like remedy, or what Holy Fathers they say about how to face or to discover this passion is that this is this intention or decision to live simpler life. You know, that if I start to follow, okay, I don't need everything. I don't need to attend each activity. I don't need to have all kind of things. And to be some kind of decision of mind or will to try to have life simpler. When we are trying to do this, we can uncover these fears which cause that greed is growing in us. It's very easy to discover when we start to do this. And
Father, how does fear of old age, sickness, or exile, how does that tie in with greed?
Well, I think that it is coming with naturally, you know, because if you are getting older, well, you are noticing that you don't have enough power as you used to have as you were young. And from that fear comes that, will I be able to take care of myself? So this fear of old age is that this is, do I have to take care of myself? Because then I will be not able.
How is that bad? You have to look ahead to
Well, I'm not saying that it is bad, but if this becomes like main engine of your life, that your mind is focused, like you know, I'm so afraid that if when I'm old I will have not enough money to live, so now I am focused and I'm trying to gather what I can now. You know, it's not that if you, for example, if you put every month you know, to your fund or retirement fund, you know, that you are doing these savings for future, you know, and well, you put it every month and you don't care, you know, more. But if you, for example, I would say, you are living in this fear, I must to do something, I have to must to gather more today, because then I will not be able, and I don't want to be, I want to be independent, you know, and it, this is difficult thing, you know, that for some people.
Well, and it also seems to me that trust in self doesn't become prideful, that you start to diminish trust in God.
Exactly.
That balance. So then you say, okay, I'm doing good, I'm getting ready for old age. So do you start trusting yourself more than trusting God less?
That makes sense.
You have to have confidence in yourself,
but not to diminish
not
trust
to the point
in God.
For, you know, he's the one that's controlling us.
Yeah, sure, sure, and you have, well, many times I talk to people, like all, well, relatively older people, like in, back in Slovakia, well, people went to job, to work, normal job, they came home, and they usually had, there was these agriculture companies. What they did, so they'd offer people piece of land, and they put seeds there, whatever, and they ask people, okay, you are taking care of this, so you will take care of weeding and harvesting, you know, things. Then this part goes to us, to company, the rest goes to you. And many people, they accepted this offer, and it was something natural, that because you got some extra money. But it means that you had like second shift, and it was not easy work, demanding work, you know. And I was helping, Amrtsaka can tell you that she was helping too many times, and it was like, we were like slaves, you know, children. We were helping, and why it was? Why, you know, many times you ask, well, you don't need, especially older people, you don't need work so hard. But in their mind was, well, yeah, we need money. And why? Because in their mind was, we will have money, and actually through this money we will buy this service, you know, like from children, and we will give them money, and that they will take care of me, and was of us. It was this kind of thinking. But well, but this was like fear there. Fear that, well, I will have nothing to live with. And again, you know, like this call to simplicity of life is important, because if you adjust yourself to simple life, so that the sudden change, illness, or this older age, and whatever, war can come, or crisis, economical crisis can come, you are not, you don't feel this crisis because you know how to survive. And there was like a lot of examples are that rich people. And there was like economical crisis hit like several 10 years ago in Europe. Well, they killed themselves, because they really started to fear that, well, because they lost a lot of money, but still they had enough money to live like decent life. But if you live your high standard, so it's difficult to go down, to adjust to lower standard. So it means that, well, then it's really difficult to adjust for lower, and it's almost impossible. And this is why this greed is coming. The more higher standard you have, so you see in the future more expenses you need. And you know, well, I might not earn so much money when I go on retirement, so well, my income will be like half, maybe. So now it's time to gather as much as possible. It's difficult. But we are called like Christians. We know that this is not our home. And yes, we have to live in the society. There are some rules, there are some needs we need to cover. What's okay, but if we try to follow this advice, Holy Fathers, to try to live a simpler life, to look to our life, and it is not only because of this greed, to uncover greed, but to have a simpler life, it means to really find more time for our own souls. Because always when we give up something with this intention to have a simpler life, you know, so we are creating time for soul, we are creating time for God in our lives. Because simpler life gives us time. If we want higher standards, somehow it always comes with more activities, and it means that you spend all your energy to fulfill these activities, and then you have no time to really meditate or contemplate God and to take care of the soul. Does that make sense? He's going to we'll be talking about it more in future, but well, this is just introduction to these passions. All right, let's continue with anger.
Anger, irascibility, acceptance of angry thoughts, harboring evil thoughts about others and thoughts of revenge, disturbing the heart with anger, and the darkening of the mind through anger. Inappropriate yelling, arguments, fighting, cruel and hurtful words, striking others, pushing others, murder. Remembrance of evils, hatred, fighting, revenge, slander, judging others, and disturbing or offending your neighbor.
Yeah. So it's clear what is written here. And now I would say that it is many times this anger, it's rare to have this passion which is sinful. I mean that we are angry because of bad will, that we have bad intention. It's not this case. Many this anger which we experience, and it is sin still, it is that we see injustice. Injustice toward others, injustice toward us many times. But this injustice is, well, towards us, that somebody was not fair sometimes. It is something if our self-love is attacked, so then anger comes out. We see that as not justice, something was not fair. And many times we are missing good opportunities, because many times God allows the situation to come to our life. There was like, I probably said this story before, but there was a monk who was praying to God that, well, teach me. I want to be humble. I want to have my, I ask for a humble heart. He was praying for a long time, and then he was sent by his, this Igumen, the superior monastery, to help as a server to a parish which was close by, in village close by to their monastery. So he went there. So he entered sanctuary ready to serve to priest. And this priest was really rude to him without no reason. So he really, there was no explanation what happened, but he was yelling at him in front of people, and really he put him down, that priest. Well, liturgy finished and he went back to monastery crying. And he was asking, oh Lord, why? I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I didn't, it was, nothing was true. I didn't like start this thing. You know, it's like he was asking God, and he heard in his heart, he said, well, you asked for a humble heart. I gave you opportunity to practice that. You know, and if you think about this story, it is how God works. You know, it is many times we ask that, oh Lord, I want to like be humble. So it is not that He takes our heart and He changes during night and morning we woke up and, oh my, I am humble person today. You know, it doesn't work this way. If we ask Him, He says, okay, good, this is good thing. So what He does, He sends us many opportunities to humble us. And many times it happens, and so we have to be very careful how we react to that monk. Was really, there was a temptation to be angry. And if he would tell to other people that, well, other people would say, you are right, that priest had no right to be so rude to you. You know, it's normal, and everybody would agree with him. And this anger would be growing. And what this anger does is, what he said, well, you cannot pray. You know, it's really, it's what causes is that then I am like prisoner of this, my passion, and it's those thoughts for this unfairness is always in my mind, and this is so true, and we have to be so careful. Today I had this experience like shortly before, later afternoon, I got one phone call and I was connected with one member of clergy, you know, that there was some kind of accusation. I know that person and I said, how can you do this? You know, you have, instead of to help each other, we are going to fight against each other. This is not true. And this left, that left in my heart and soul this bitterness, some kind. And I said, well, and the thoughts I had, it was maybe not anger. It might be anger. But it's more like sadness, you know. And then before I went to a church, I realized I cannot concentrate because this was in my mind. You have this in your mind. You carry this like luggage. It is like a weight which pulls your soul down to earth. And you try to pray, you cannot, because you are filled with this. And so it is more, even if this is something what is not fair, we always have to rethink these situations, because many times we have to admit that, well, it's natural for us to see this injustice towards us, injustice towards others, and we are filled with this emotion, you know, and it is anger or this bitterness, whatever we call it. But I think that remembering this passion, we always have to think, rethink this, and to calm down with this. It might be opportunity God gave me to grow. I don't say that we should be blind to injustice, you know, or if it is in our power to defend people who are suffering, not just, we should do this, but it should not be with this emotion which moves us, drives us. It's always important to rethink this. And it is, look, I am not, with each this passion, it's not easy. One is you start to think about and to analyze your life, you can find, well, I am maybe more slave of this passion, of this person, of this passion. But once I realize that, so I have to bring this exercise to my heart, to my mind, that I will test things, situations in my life. It doesn't make sense what I'm saying. And as we heard before, that St. Ignatius says us that once you start to fight against passion, so okay, it doesn't mean that if you win once, it doesn't mean that you are free. The second temptation is coming, but it will be not so strong. Which each fight which is won, the passion becomes weaker. And in the end we can remove that. And now look how it is important, like to confess this, to make repentance, to really come to Christ and say, well, this was in my life, this happened, that I found out too late that I was acting through this passion. So I was hurt. There is a wound which is passion causing my soul. I was not faithful to you through this, because my ego was winning. So I need this healing from you, forgiveness. And usually it is good, because when you find out this passion and you want to fight against them, so then you can ask your spiritual father that, well, what kind of exercise I should do? Because many times when what happens is that in some kind of zeal we put to ourselves like strict exercise, like you say, well, somebody that's like gluttony, the overeating, or you know, that, oh, I realize I have this passion, so they say now I am going to strict fast, you know, and they do. I only water and bread, you know, and so they keep it for 1 week, and on the eighth day they open fridge and they eat everything what is inside. So this passion returns like this double power, you know, then. But there was good intention. We have good intention. Sometimes we want to be strict to ourselves to uproot this passion, but sometimes we have to check it with our spiritual father, and usually we would be surprised that many times he would say, give us that, make a little step, but keep this step, and then another, and this moderation in spiritual life, this moving towards perfectness, holiness. It is, there are like thousands little steps. And today we are asked to do little step we are supposed to do today. God doesn't want us to somehow make huge jumps today and tomorrow. And this persistence, this little work, but intensive and persistent work, this is what brings fruit. I think that we should stop here, and we will continue. With sorrow next.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.